Call to order of the February 20th, 2025 meeting of the River Forest Historic Preservation Commission. Luke, can you take the roll, please?
Commissioner Krasinski. Commissioner Graham White. Commissioner Rainwagen.
Present.
Chairman Franek.
Here.
Commissioner Forehan.
Present.
Commissioner Sager.
Present.
And Commissioner Murr.
Present.
Thank you all. I see no one in attendance in the audience.
Need a motion to second.
Virtually.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Is there a motion to allow Brian Muir to attend remotely and to vote on anything that we determine requires a vote?
So moved.
Is there a second? Luke?
Commissioner Rainwagen?
Yes.
Chairman Franek?
Aye.
Commissioner Forehan?
Yes.
Commissioner Sager?
Yes.
Welcome, Brian.
Thanks, guys. Sorry, I got to be remote here.
No. Thanks for joining us, Brian. I see no one physically present. Luke, do we have anything that we have received?
Nothing received and no one on Zoom.
Okay. Approval of the meeting minutes for our last meeting of September 26th. Consistent with my desire not to have meetings, just to have meetings. Does anyone have any questions or comments with respect to those minutes?
I do not. No.
I do not. No one has indicated that they have any questions or comments with respect to those minutes. Is there a motion to approve as written?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Luke?
Commissioner Graham White? Commissioner Rainwagen?
Yes.
Chairman Franek?
Aye.
Commissioner Forehan?
Yes.
Commissioner Sager?
Aye.
And Commissioner Murr?
Aye.
Okay. Next item. Discussion of certificates of appropriateness in connection with proposed demolition of accessory structures on significant properties. A little bit of background. There have been discussions regarding codifying the process that we have applied consistently to propose demolitions of accessory buildings on significant properties. And accordingly, I submitted a question to the village attorney as follows. The Historic Preservation Commission is seeking to formalize the process for whether or not proposed alterations to accessory structures, such as garages, situated on significant properties require a certificate of appropriateness. The ordinance does not make any distinction between primary and accessory structures, RAE, the COA requirement slash process. The survey does not treat accessory structures uniformly. In some instances, they are mentioned, sometimes not. Will a clarification of the process regarding accessory structures require an amendment to the ordinance, or would it be treated as an administrative interpretation? We received a response this afternoon, which will, I believe, require some further clarification from the village attorney. Little bit of background. The initial thought may be to have the architectural review subcommittee look at these. However, as presently written, the ordinance specifically prohibits that subcommittee from making any determination with respect to proposed demolition. Therefore, we would have to go either to amend the ordinance as currently situated, or we would have to go in a different direction to figure this out. And that's kind of the process that I want to have some further clarification on in terms of where we're headed. I guess, though, we could probably generally discuss the concept of what the commission's feelings are with respect to these properties. As I said, there are some instances where the survey explicitly references the garage. In some instances, it does not. And we've taken that into account in our pre-existing discussions and determinations with respect to proposed demolitions. Does anyone have any thoughts?
I would think if the garage in question was built at the same time as the residence, is the same style and keeping as the residence, then it's certainly historic. If it's built at a different time and a different style, different look, then I'd go to a subcommittee or something much simpler.
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the way we've dealt with it so far,
mm-hmm.
David. We would then have to have some kind of minor amendment to the ordinance indicating that the Architectural Review Subcommittee could, in fact, under those limited circumstances, make their comments with respect to a garage that doesn't appear to be contemporaneous, doesn't have the same architectural style, that a building permit is obtained from the village or from the historical historical society that has a lot of the building permits for River Forest and Oak Park to show that, in fact, it's not contemporaneous, that, you know, a home that was built in 1915 had a garage that was put up in 1945. Obviously, the likelihood of it being contemporaneous then is zero. So
it would still make sense for us to review, I think, the garage it is built if it's in the public view. Correct.
Yeah, and that kind of brings into one of the subsidiary things that we've talked about from time to time, and that is the interplay of timing. Currently, the ordinance requires an applicant to have a building permit before they come in front of us. The idea being that we then know what they are proposing to do. The one downside of that, and we've seen this in a couple of instances, our homeowners have said, gee, I only wish I knew what your thoughts were before I purchased a basement worth of replacement windows, because one or more of the commission members has suggested something that's more architecturally appropriate, better quality and less expensive. At the same point in time, we've also experienced instances where people have said to us, this is what we're going to do. We have responded, and they've gone off and done something entirely different.
Mm-hmm.
So it's impact of the commission's suggestions and whether they could potentially be followed or trusting in the truthfulness of an applicant is it, and in fact, that's what they're planning on doing. I guess one of the ways you can bridge that potentially is to say that at the time a building permit application is submitted, then as I understand it, it's done online. And the online submission flags the addresses of significant properties. So it says, by the way, you got to go to the HPC for a certificate of appropriateness. Maybe we could add a sentence or two to that saying, and by the way, you may not necessarily want to buy a whole bunch of things until you get some of their thoughts. Don't know.
I guess we've relied on people knowing they purchased a house that's historic and got to come before us at some point. They come in with some early sketches or ideas from their architect. Are we doing the right thing? Yeah, it looks like you're going to get approved, proceed, versus wait until the end when you're doing the wrong thing. We're not going to approve you.
Yeah. And there are some people who, you know, the grapevine tells me that some folks have made comment about the length of process we have. Because it's basically two meetings. It's we review the completeness of the application, then review the application of itself. I guess my response to that is whether one is a land use attorney, whether one is, and I don't want to step on anyone's feet, but an architect or a contractor, the first thing one would responsibly do would be to look at the ordinance to determine what the ground rules are in the community. So mm-hmm. if in fact someone does not do that and suddenly they say, oh, gee, we've got to deal with an ordinance here, the burden shouldn't fall on us to do something different, mm-hmm. but rather should be a situation of people ought to be aware, just as I'm sure that people who are seeking to do alterations or demolitions in Oak Park, they know there's an ordinance. I would think most contractors, architects, and land use attorneys know that we have an ordinance. They may not know what the specifics are. They would have to review it. But that would seem to me to be the first task in any process. Mm-hmm.
I would say that's true. I mean, clearly, you know, the client tends to drive some of these decisions on schedule sometimes, but absolutely. That's the first thing the architect should be doing.
Yeah.
Is looking at that ordinance.
Particularly if it's someone who's done a lot of work in this area.
Right.
I would assume they know. Right. You know, and every ordinance is different. They all have different requirements, different time frames. We've actually expedited some of the time frames from the initial ordinance back in 2007. We've shortened some things, created an architecture review subcommittee, and kind of shortened the time periods we have. So
theoretically, if we required the certificate of appropriateness before you went in for a building permit, we'd be stretching out the process, right?
Yeah.
If I know John and I have managed to work the window approval fairly speedily, mm-hmm. I would think. Is there, I'm not making a power grab, but is there a way to have, maybe we always have two architects on the committee or somebody that can make a quick look at some proposals, what they're planning to do, just on an email basis. And then it's only, that's eliminating having to wait for every month for that meeting to happen. And then you can have one meeting that you're signed up to go for. You bring in your full package of stuff, and it's.
I think because there are, off the top of my head, it's something like roughly 2,000 structures, buildings, main buildings, residences, or commercial buildings in River Forest. And initially we had 298, I think it's down to 296 significant properties. It's a pretty small number. Mm-hmm. Therefore, the thought behind the ordinance is that there should be some forethought to the process so that rather than to say, yeah, we're going to take a look at the completeness of your application if you're going to do a major, if you're doing an alteration, but if you're doing something minor, windows being the classic example, mm-hmm. yeah, we can take care of that pretty quickly, because that's also tends to be from my architecturally lay approach to it appears to be something that's pretty straightforward. There are various options you can do, but it's not like you're going to have an extended conversation like we may have on some of the specific, you know, details. If someone wants to alter a roof line, add an addition, wants to move a door, change the facade in its entirety, which would require the whole process. That's where you kind of carved out those as being sort of minor alterations and accordingly exceptions to the rule.
So we require a permit to get in front of us?
Yeah.
That's kind of
correct.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Why can't we get rid of that?
And that's what I struggle. And we had that we've had it recently a couple times. And we're sitting here at that first meeting, and the question is, so did they file their complete set of plans and permits? And yes, they did. And we go, oh, okay. And it's over. And then they have to come back in another month for this COA. And this has been like not necessarily a demolition, but for the addition, like over at Oak and Bonnie Bray. And although they went through a couple different iterations for their plans, but still, you know, I'm kind of sitting there personally thinking, why does this have to be so stretched out? But yet, when those plan, when that full set of plans is, you know, do they have the full set of plans? Yes, they've submitted the full plan. At that point, they need to have the COA to file too, in order to for us to cover everything in one meeting rather than this stretched out two meetings. But I do struggle with this length of time on that.
I think an important note for the two meetings, and particularly when it comes to demolitions, is that any demolition requires certified mailers and a signed postage and a public notice. So that is just another portion to juggle with, particularly when it comes to the demolitions and the two meetings.
Yeah. Well, now, but that's different.
Yeah, I'm all on board for that for demolitions. Yeah. I'm on a similar committee in Old Town, and there's a second check because it's Chicago Landmarks Commission, but they look for our approval as a local entity, as there are several local entities in Chicago, all these little neighborhood groups, the Old Town Historic Commission. People will bring their things in very early and with us, and we'll give them pointers, or yeah, that can work, or I can see it from this, or we'll ask them to do, can you do a mock-up? Can you get some drawing that show us where the eye is here, or at top of that a roof addition over here, so we get information on how it's going to be perceived from the public way. And there's no requirement to have a permit in hand to do that. It's encouraged to come in early to get the input very quickly. It saves time and money for everybody.
I'm not aware of many other jurisdictions that require you to have the permit in hand before you get the certificate of appropriateness.
Yeah. It's the proverbial part before the horse.
But because certainly as a homeowner, you don't want to spend all your money on 100% construction documents and really care what we have to say at that point. So,
Dave, how can you make that happen?
You have to we can amend the ordinance. Mm-hmm. In order to do that, which would require sort of a rewrite of the section, because otherwise, if you take something and you try to add a sentence here that otherwise undoes something in a prior sentence, the only thing you then get is a tangle that's difficult to understand, and the whole idea is to be able to look at it and say it's reasonably clear. We do not have any publication or signage requirements with respect to alterations, correct?
No. But I will double check. I think it's only in relation to demolition.
I think that's the case. Because that would then be a distinction.
While Luke's looking at that, I just, off the top of my head, I just keep thinking, whatever we do, it needs to be as objective as possible. And I think saying to avoid any subjective or expectation of being a subjective.
Yeah, no, that's why we've kind of done something consistently. But the point is, you know, we probably should have something that's explicit in writing, as opposed to just an administrative understanding as to how we've done it. We've done it consistently. If you go back and look through everything, you know. So
there's no signage requirements for, I guess we will call it, non-demolition COAs. It's one
alterations.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Thoughts, Brian?
No. You know, understood. There's no signage, but as long as it's going with and we've had it in the past too. People have wanted to essentially build new garages as long as it's conforming with it. No, I have no further thoughts, I guess.
Okay. So then, I guess what we need to do is we then need to get a clarification on a couple aspects of this with the village attorney. And then we can proceed with a formal request if, in fact, what we decide to do is an amendment to the ordinance.
That is correct. And I would say that this agenda item is just about certificates of appropriateness related to demolitions of accessory structures. So I think we would have to have another meeting where just about the entirety of the COA process, and that would be the formal way to handle it. And then also at that time, have the questions answered by the village attorney.
Is there any thought by any members of the commission that we ought to change the existing process regarding demolitions that requires advance notice, signage, the two hearings, one for completeness, one for the public hearing, et cetera? I mean, personally, I think I would be strongly in favor of keeping the present circumstances in line with respect to demolitions, because that's really why the commission exists. In large part, it's one of the main thrusts of what we're doing. And accordingly, I think the circumstance that we've got now has been developed over time. It's had a couple of amendments. It's been tested. And frankly, it seems to work in terms of the demolition process. Because what that does is that allows for public input, which is really kind of one of the essential elements of the review of the demolition process. It's not just us as a commission.
Is our time delay, is it 6 months?
Yeah, it's maximum 6 months.
I'd like to extend that.
And my feeling is that I think it's an appropriate system that we have. I mean, the last few months, the last year since I've been part of the commission, those garage teardowns have been fairly straightforward. You know, they're ones that were built in the 80s, and it's an easy thing to do. But I can certainly foresee some problems with some of the accessory structures that were built in conjunction with the homes. That would be a totally different story.
Mm-hmm. I'm thinking more with House We Lost on William.
Yeah, I think the only instance is if we have an amendment to the ordinance which allows us up to a 12-month delay if the property is zoned in a particular manner, which is
is that
public uses?
PMPRI.
It's what we dealt with at the time of looking at what was going on potentially with the priory property. And we did that because the property, those types of properties tend to be sufficiently large that they would be multi-owner, multi-tenant use properties that would require much more than 6 months to go through the process of identifying end users / tenants / owners, financing sources, various reciprocal easement agreements amongst the owners of the various units as to how the property is operated as a contiguous whole. All those kinds of things would take, we felt, and the village board agreed, would take up to 12 months to figure out. It's a much more complicated process from a not only a legal and a financial, but just a practical standpoint in terms of identifying people. It's much different with, you know, a single or a multifamily residence where you know what's going to happen pretty quickly and you've identified it. So.
So with the auxiliary structures like the garages, so we would have to identify every of the 296, we'd have to go through the process of identifying, or we should, you know, if you're, I mean, we have to be able to say, yeah, if it's with the house, I mean, just what we talked about, then it's going to be subject to the whole signage hearing delay. But if it's a garage, even of the 296, if it's a garage that obviously was built in the 80s or doesn't look like, or it looks like it wasn't built when the house was built. So, I mean, to be objective, shouldn't we actually designate which is which? I mean, we've got the coach house over at the 518 Keystone,
yeah,
which is probably, so that's an example. Whereas.
Yeah, I think that one of the things we can do is we can look at a certain form of analysis as follows. Is it part of it? Is the accessory property part of a significant property on the survey? One. Two, is it mentioned in the survey? Three, when was a building permit issued? And that is something that would be something that the applicant would have to come up with either through an examination of the files here in Village Hall or at the Historical Society. Now, that's not a perfect circumstance because, as Lucas previously pointed out to me, there have in fact been effectively a fire and a flood with respect to those records. At the same point, then between the two, the vast majority of those properties would likely be covered. And then the question is it similar to design and construction of the principal residence or commercial building, or is it something that's completely different? If it's something that's completely different, if it's, you know, if it's a cinder block next to a Second Empire Victorian, then I think we're fairly safe to say that it was not contemporaneous. And therefore, I think we could, you know, move in that light. But I think if you look at those four items, that's probably a good way of looking at it.
I tore down my garage on a historic property, which was built much later than the house. I built an extremely complimentary garage to the house on the back of it. If a future owner wanted to tear that garage down, but it's complimentary to the house, I don't think we can say, I'm not a famous architect, so I don't think we could say, yeah, you can't do that. Even though it's complimentary to the house, how do we get around that when it's built a much later date? But it's
what the subsequent owner would do is would provide a building permit showing that in 2024 or 2025, okay, the Reno Ogdens went through the process of getting a building permit for the initially a demolition permit and then a construction permit for a new garage.
So that gets them out from saying it is complimentary to the house, but it's
correct.
Okay.
Correct.
I want to make sure of that.
Yeah. I mean, there's a difference between something that's complementary because someone had sufficient regard for the architectural characteristics of the residence or the principal building on the property and something that in fact is, you know, part of the original framework.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's a good way to lay it out, Dave.
Okay. I don't know that there's anything that we have to consider for a formal vote at this point. I'll sketch a few things out. And I guess there'll be some further discussions with the village attorney as to how best to proceed. And then at our next meeting, what we'll do is we'll present the formalized process of this is what we want to do. Then direct the village attorney to draft an amendment to the ordinance, and we will then go in front of the village board for village board approval, because that's how the ordinance gets changed.
That is the correct process, but I would just like to say at that point, it would just be, I would suggest an agenda title of something along the lines of discussion of the certificate of appropriateness process or alterations or something along those lines, because right now we're just talking about accessory structures, but at that point we're opening it up to the whole ordinance. So I just want to make sure that's clear.
Yeah, we're talking about alterations. Actually, I think we're talking about alterations to the to accessory structures. Or are we talking, is this with respect to any alteration, any non-demolition alteration?
Well, there was just the discussion of the two meetings and allowing the people coming before the meeting. And I didn't know if the commission was discussing that regarding the entirety of the process. So if someone were to change over 20% of the street facade, if that coming before the meeting was about any COA, or if those were just about the accessory structure demolitions. So
that was about any.
And it sounds as if the conversation has opened up to the COA process in its entirety for any alteration. I just want to see where we're landing correctly.
Those are two separate tracks, is what I'm, two separate discussions altogether. Yeah.
I mean, I think.
Both are streamlining the process, which is great.
So. I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth. Would someone like to recap what they believe what they are looking for in terms of potential alterations to the ordinance?
The latter would be to eliminate the requirement for a permit in order to come before the Historic Preservation Commission. And in fact, encourage early presentation with the client and the architect present.
Would we go as far as saying it's a requirement to come before us before you can submit for permit?
Yeah, even better, John.
That's typical,
mm-hmm.
from what I've seen.
Yeah. So,
a preliminary presentation illustrating the design intent of the proposed project.
So we're talking about a certificate of appropriateness presentation before the building, before the application for building permit. Okay. That's one track. As to demolition. Do we want to treat demolition of accessory structures differently? Yes.
Yes.
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. As the things you spelled out were excellent. of a way to set up, here's track A, here's track B. Your garage is not built the same time your house. Your garage is blah, blah, blah. That's a quicker process.
And those are the two changes we're talking about. We're going to leave the requirements with respect to alterations to the principal structure, as well as demolition of the principal structure as they are.
Well, alterations were, that's part of getting here without a permit, right?
Yeah, other than that.
Yeah, okay.
Other than that.
Yeah.
And that still goes through the two-step process. Unless it's something minor like windows. Okay. Okay.
Got your legalese pen out?
I will go back to my days of yore as a draftsman. Okay. Anything else further on this topic? Okay. Discussion regarding promotions of River Forest architecture and history.
I was just going to add it. I know we don't want to violate the Open Meetings Act, but could we get a quick write-up in the next week of what this was? What you wrote out and the summary, you know, like Dave Radel Ogden summarized what we just discussed. So how do we, I mean, I think it'd be kind of nice to see a recap of this before it gets, well, I guess that's minutes of the meeting though, isn't it?
It will come in advance of the next meeting.
Okay.
Luke, can one access a recording of this meeting?
Oh, that's right.
Yes, we there have the recording, backup recorder. We can even make an announcement prior to the next meeting that whatever the agenda title we end up will be up for discussion. You guys know I'm the staff liaison of social media, so you're talking to the right guy.
You're the man.
Yeah.
Okay. Returning, anything regarding the promotion of River Forest architecture, history, or additional ways to protect significant properties?
So I'll just tell you a short little story. At the Kiwanis Club meeting a couple weeks ago, I happened to have a few brochures of the historic homes. And so I thought, well, I'll just bring them. I had about 10, and I just passed them out before the meeting. And the team members, the members there, are divided between Oak Park and River Forest residents. Anyway, there was supposed to be a guest speaker, and she couldn't make it. And so Bill Piper, if anybody knows, he's the president. He's in the village. And he says, well, since so-and-so couldn't make it for our guest speaker, and Jan handed out these historic brochures, maybe let's have Jan just give us the presentation of these. So I did, and it was well received. We opened up the whole map, went through details front and back. There was some good discussion. One of the members that night actually lived in the other landmark. She lived in the home up on the 1500 block of Franklin. Mm-hmm. That was at the Troost home, I guess. But she grew up there, mm-hmm. which was pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, you know, maybe any time, maybe we all should take some brochures, and any time there's a get together that we go to, we can bring some of the brochures with us, hand them out. I think, Carla, you had an idea.
Yeah, if you see a block party in your area, just throw them on the table.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And Luke has a box of, brought a whole bunch for us.
Are they the revised ones?
They are the revised ones.
All right.
That's a great idea.
So
simple.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a wonderful brochure. Everybody, they were all looking at it. They were all really interested in it.
Additional ways to protect significant properties.
I was going to say, I had sort of a silly idea the other day that, you know, all these homes, the home I live in was built in 1924. Or maybe 26, but I wondered, you know, wouldn't it be great if, you know, every house, when it turns 100 years old, they get a little plaque. So, you know, somehow to acknowledge that you've got these, you know, you've got a 100-year-old, your home has turned 100. But,
I can tell you the only impediment to that would be cost. And right. If you want to get a historical society plaque, last time I checked, they were somewhere north of $350
wow.
per house. And when asked whether if a sufficient number of people were inquired, could there be some kind of adjustment to that? I was told, don't even think it.
Okay.
So.
I wonder how many houses are already over 100 years old out of the in the village.
There's a fair number.
Yeah.
There's a fair number.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, any other business?
Commissioner Sager requested I give an update on the searchable database. It is currently down, and the village is working through some IT issues regarding the database, and we'll have an update at a later date.
What the hell's going on, Luke?
A lot. A lot.
Is there a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
Luke?
Commissioner Graham White? Commissioner Raynor Ogden?
Yes.
Chairman Franek?
Aye.
Commissioner Forehand?
Yes.
Commissioner Sager?
Aye.
And Commissioner Murr?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned at 7:45.